Well, good morning, Anchor Baptist Church. Such a blessing to be here with you. And Pastor, the church has been in existence for 23 and a half years, and you've been supporting us, I believe, for 23 years, or maybe even 23 and a half. One of the first, right? Yeah, so we thank the Lord for you and for your faithfulness. And Pastor Turner's been with us in the Netherlands, and that's been a wonderful blessing. Baptized, reached our baptism service.
Right in the house,
yeah. We got 60, how many people? I think we got 60-some-odd people in our house somehow, and that was a blessing. So next time you come, we'll baptize at the lake, Lord willing, if you ever come in the summer. But God's been good. We're so thankful for you and for God's faithfulness here in this place and in this country. It was such a great need in Canada, and our heart's still, you know, in Canada, even though we're serving in the Netherlands. My parents were Dutch immigrants to Canada. I grew up in a Dutch Reformed church in Ladner, heard the gospel on the streets of Calgary. I didn't hear it in the church, sadly. And so that's why I have a great burden to go into the, you know, God never commanded the world to go to church, but he commanded us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So I have a great burden for that. Brother, you want to show the video now? And then, okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm a Dutchman, but I'm born out of a Turkish mother. A little bit, my name is Robbie. A little bit, my name is Robbie Smitskamp. I'm a Dutchman, but I'm born out of a Turkish mother. I was born in Emmeloord, which is a small city up north, and I live with my wife and my son, and our second child is coming in a couple weeks in Urk, which is a tiny little conservative town. I'm born as a man who had no God view. I didn't know the Lord. My mother is from Islam. My dad was a Jehovah's Witness until he was 12. Then he was shunned. So we were raised as not really as believers, but more as maybe like free. How do you say it? Secular Islam. So my mother gave me some Islam. My dad told me to do whatever I wanted to do. So I had no faith whatsoever. But when I was a young man, about 4 or 5 years old, my parents divorced. And my dad went away. And from that time, I started to hate my father. I had no view of a good dad. I had no view of a good father. I was bullied on my school because I was a little bit fat back in the days. So a broken family, bullied on school. So when I went towards high school, I didn't want anyone to bully me again. So I was going to fight for my rights. And I was going to get involved into criminal activities. I started to smoke weed and do things which were not right when I was about 12 years old. Then I started to move in with my dad because my stepdad and my mother, they couldn't handle me anymore. So my mother, she brought me to my dad. So I started to live with my dad. But because my parents were divorced, I couldn't submit under his authority as a father. So I was actually walking over him. Ik liep over hem heen. I walked over him, you know, if you know what I mean. So it was a very, my teenage years were a very dark time. When I hang out with Dutch people, I was a black sheep because I'm half Turkish. But when I hang out with the Turkish people, I was also a black sheep because I wasn't fully Turkish. So I had no identity in this life. I had no identity in this world. But I decided to hang out with the Turkish people anyways because I wanted to be cool. I wanted to submit myself under them authority. I wanted to consider myself as a Muslim, even half. I didn't even know what the Quran said. But when I hang out with the Turkish people, I was also a black sheep because I wasn't fully Turkish. So I had no identity in this life. I had no identity in this world. But I decided to hang out with the Turkish people anyways because I wanted to be cool. I wanted to submit myself under them authority. I wanted to consider myself as a Muslim, even though I didn't even know what the Quran says. So I prayed to Allah, and I didn't have any. I never heard his voice. I was involved in a stabbing as well when I was 17 years old. I was involved in drug dealings and doing bad things. When I was 17 years old, my dad told me, "You should go and become a chef." Because maybe it was a way out of the criminal lifestyle on the streets. So I decided to become a chef, but because I was perfectionistic, I wanted to become the best, because back in the days I was bullied. So I didn't want to be just a sloppy chef in a cafe, no offense, but I wanted to be a good chef. So in 4 or 5 years, I worked myself up to the how do you say it? To I work myself up until the Michelin star restaurants in the Netherlands. I work myself up until the most expensive restaurant in the Netherlands, which is in Amsterdam, in the Pipe. So I worked 2 Michelin stars. I did Top Chef on television. I had everything, what I wanted. I had a girlfriend back then. In my spare time, I started to use hard drugs as well. So I worked hard and I played hard and I had everything my heart desired. But the Bible says our heart is deceitful. So my heart was like leading me to hell, basically. So then my dad told me about when I was 23 years old, you should go to Australia. There's big money there. It's good there. So first my dad, which I actually hated, I hated my dad. He said, you should start becoming chef. So I did this. And then the same dad, my father told me, you should go to Australia. So I listened to my dad. So I left everything behind in the Netherlands. I went to Australia for 1 year. But I discovered that life on earth is just the same. Because I thought a change in environment was going to change my heart as well. But nothing was true about this. I did the same life as I did in Melbourne, as I did in Amsterdam. I worked in the most expensive restaurant in the Netherlands. I worked in one of the most expensive restaurants of Melbourne. I chased the Amsterdam women. I chased the Australian women. I went the Dutch drugs, the Australian drugs. It was just the same life, but just 15,000 kilometers down the road. So that's when I found out that my life was just nothing. And about almost one year after, I went to this party and this lady came up to me. And she started talking to me and I told her that I was depressed and I started to have these suicidal thoughts as well. And I had fear and anxiety and no life. And she started to talk to me about the Lord Jesus Christ. So she said, can I pray for you? So she prayed for me. I didn't even know what she said because the music was so loud. The only thing I understood was that she ended the prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then she came. She left and we didn't hang out anymore. And my dad, my father, he came over to Australia to visit me. And that's when I found out that I still hated him. That's when I discovered in my heart that I couldn't forgive him. So I drove in this old four-wheel drive through the Australian redback, through the Australian desert, through the outback. And I sat next to him and I spent 1 year in Australia and I said to him that, for the first time in my life, I told him, I hate you. I can't forgive you because you left us and you did this and this. And he said, son, can you not forgive me? But when I talk about this, it really touches my heart because he asked forgiveness to me, but I couldn't forgive my own father, you know? Why not? Bible says it's impossible for man, but it's possible for God. So what happened? About 2 weeks afterward, my dad left back to the Netherlands and I had about 3 days on my visa left. So my flight back to Amsterdam was Monday. And this lady who prayed for me, she invited me in her church. And this was Saturday night. So 2 days before my flight back to the Netherlands, she invited me in this church. And I wouldn't go back to that church right now. You know, it was very charismatical and very Pentecostal. People were just dancing and praying and doing like... But the only thing that I saw that they had hope. They had hope. They had a joy which I couldn't comprehend. I didn't know this joy. So I sat down and I was just praying in my heart. I was just thinking and praying and then that time I was practicing Buddhism meditation even to get rid of this depression. But it even got worse. But these people there were praying to Jesus Christ, and I heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ every time when I was in that place for this whole service. And I was praying and I trying to empty my thoughts and trying to meditate as a Buddhist and whatever. And then about 10 minutes, 15 minutes afterwards, I had this short little vision with my eyes shut of a man with white linen robes, and his face was like the sun, and he wrapped his arms around me, and I opened my eyes, and that was the moment that everything was different. It was as if the curtains were opened, when somebody, where he took a brick and he threw the window and everything was clear and love came into my heart and peace came into my heart and I knew I was forgiven. Somebody had done control all delete. My sins were gone. I knew it. I knew that truth came inside of my life and something had changed, but I thought maybe it was just because I was there, because I used to go to parties and when you take drugs, You experience something and then it leaves. But it didn't leave. This was truth. Truth came inside of my life. And 2 days afterwards, I went back to the Netherlands. And I was driving from Amsterdam. Somebody picked me up. I can't even remember who picked me up. But they picked me up. They drove me back to Emmeloord. And I used to curse Emmeloord. It was never cool to come from Emmeloord. It was cool to be from Amsterdam. It was cool to be from Urk. It was cool to be from Zwolle. But it was never cool to be from Emmeloord. But I drove through Emmeloord. I remember. And I saw this, just the trees. Just the creation of the Lord. And he changed me. He opened my eyes and I saw my father, and two, three weeks before, I told him I hated him. And then I saw him for the first time again and I forgave him. Like I could forgive him. I had love for my dad. I had love for my old man. Why? Because the Lord had forgiven me. And I didn't even know that this was because of Jesus Christ. I didn't know that this was, that the Bible, the Holy Spirit, we have to be born again, baptism. This is all in one thing. This is all, it all belongs to the Lord and in the Bible. I didn't know. I just had this experience in that church and they told me you have an encounter with the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ came into your life. I was like, whatever. Like I cursed the name of the Lord before I was even born again. And that's when my life was changed. And somebody told me you have to read the Bible. So I opened this old Bible and it said, God forgave you with other words, but God forgave you. So you have to forgive other ones as well. So that was the first time when the word of God spoke to me personally in my heart. And that's when I knew that I could forgive my dad because I was forgiven. Mm. I couldn't do it by myself. I couldn't even forgive. I hated people around me. And that's when my life changed radically. So I went back to Australia 9 months afterwards. My only brother, I have a younger brother. He was fully on drugs in Amsterdam. He came to Australia as well. I started praying for him. I didn't even preach to him. I was too scared to share the gospel. But after a couple of weeks, he came to faith as well. So now by the grace of God, me and my brother, we both are saved. He works in Almere in the Legende cells. Now we are 5, 6, 7. When I came to faith, it's 2016. So it's almost 9 years ago. And then I came back to Australia about two and a half years. I stayed back there again. And that's when I really felt the Lord speak in my heart, you have to go back to Holland because you have to preach the gospel. God gave me the desire to share the gospel. And first I thought, okay, maybe I have to be a pastor. Maybe I have to do Hillsong College. Maybe I have to do a Bible study. Maybe I have to do this. I all had these things. But the Lord showed me clearly, go back to Emmeloord. So I went back to Emmeloord, the place which I cursed, the place which I hated. So I went there. And that's when the Lord opened a door to share the gospel. I hated Urk, I told you. Back in the days, I used to fight with people from Urk. Now the Lord, what did the Lord do? The Lord placed me in Urk. He gave me a wife, which is from Urk. He gave me a wife. We got married about 2.5 years ago. He gave us a son. Our son, his name is Isaac. And now we receive a second child soon as well. And about 2.5 years ago, I believe the Lord spoke to me to leave my job, to leave and to start preaching the gospel on the streets as well. And that's when I said, okay, Lord, you are two things. Because this was about 1 month before we got married. 1 month before we got married, I heard a voice telling me, Robby, negeer je mijn roep. Robby, negeer je mijn roep. It means, Robby, do you ignore my call? And I knew that it was God. It was not from the devil. It was not from my flesh. And I just had a new job. I just had a new job for one day. I didn't sign the papers yet, but I just had a new job. And I opened my eyes and I said, no, Lord. And I opened scripture and the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 14, the first verse or the second verse, something like this. It says, Proverbs, hang on, stay with me, guys, please. I'm almost finished.
It says, brother, we're with you.
He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. So I was perverse in my ways. I despised it, but I had to walk in my uprightness and fear the Lord. And I knew, okay, if God calls you, he's going to back it up with scripture. Some people say, oh, I felt this. Oh, the Lord told me this. But last week I spoke to somebody and sometimes you speak to people and they live in sin. It's obviously they live in sin. And then you tell them, listen, the Bible says this. Yeah, but we went through the scriptures and God is not just the Bible, it's also the Holy Spirit, you know, because the Holy Spirit is coloring outside of the lines of the Bible. So no, I found out that the Word of God, this is our foundation. Amen. We should build on our foundation, because many people say, "Yeah, I feel happy when I am with her, living together, unmarried and stuff like this." But I'm like, no, I also felt happy before I knew the Lord. You know why? Because our flesh is very weak. The Bible says our flesh is weak. The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak.
Right.
And that's why, my friends, when I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to go full time, my future wife, she has to be, she has to support it. You know, if she says, no, we're not going to do it. And Lord, I said, okay, Lord, you have to provide. And what happened the same week? An envelope came through the mail without an offsender, but with an in-house. The Lord provided financially. The same week, a bicycle came in front of our house. A brother had it on his heart to give us a bicycle. And now we are almost 3 years down, 2.5, 3 years down, and we can almost write a book about how the Lord provided in our lives with everything, like financially, but not just this. The Bible says, give us today our daily bread. Most of the time, we Dutch people, we want to have bread in the fridge, bread in the freezer, bread in the kelder. But the Bible says, today, our daily bread. If you have clothes today, Paul says, if we have food and deksel, food and clothing, we should be, how do you say it? Wij zullen vergenoegd zijn. Wij moeten blij zijn met wat we hebben, dames en heren. And we live in a generation, and I want to, sorry that I'm going to preach a little bit right now, but we live in a generation where the church becomes lukewarm.
Good.
The church becomes lukewarm. You know, I live in Urk, which is the most God-fearing place of the Netherlands. They call it the most conservative place of Europe even. 22,000 people, of which 98% attends church. Right now, there's 20,000 people in church at Urk. But if I ask them, do you go to heaven? No, I go to church. If you die today, where would you spend eternal life? I don't know. Nobody knows. Do you know? Yes, I know. Why? Because God does not want anyone to perish, but that all come to repent. Do you repent? No. Why? How come the churches are full in the Netherlands, but the discos are also full? How come the churches are full and the prostitutes are having a lot of jobs to do? How come the churches are full and the coffee shops are even more full? How come the churches are full in Urk? And how come the cafes are lining up and piling and people are getting drunk and high? And how come the divorce in the church is as high as in the world? We are different. We should be different. We should be holy. We should be on holy ground. And if we are on holy ground, the world is going to hate us. The world is going to hate us. And not even the world. I have the most persecution from religious people, from Christians, from Pharisees. They tell me, you go to church. Why are you preaching on the street? Why are you preaching on the street? I'm the only one preaching on the street in Urk. I don't want to give myself a compliment. No, it's sad. We are praying for more workers. The Bible says, don't pray for the harvest. It's ripe, it's plentiful. People die without knowledge of Christ and they go to hell. Every day, 160,000 people die in this world without hope. My mother is from Islam. My grandmother is from Islam. She's 85 to 86 years old. If I ask her, do you go to heaven? She says, inshallah, if God wants. She dies, she ends up in hell without Jesus Christ. I preach the gospel to her. She doesn't even know what I'm saying. I preach it in Turkish. She gets distracted. Why? Because the devil wants to make her distracted. We must preach the gospel. We must share the truth. Not just like, you don't have to stand on the street with a microphone like a fool like me or like brother. You can do it on your own way, but share the gospel. You can give a flyer or go to your work and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because this lady 9 years ago, she was on a techno party, yeah? It's a techno party, which is very dark. People were using drugs, people doing all sorts of things. But she decided to pray for me. She decided to step out in faith. Whether she's a charismatic, yes or no, she shared Jesus Christ with me. She invited me in her church. That's why I came to faith right there. And now, 9 years later, down the road, we are now here preaching the gospel. If she didn't step out, I wouldn't be saved. Okay, you can say, okay, God can use another way. Of course, he can use another way. He would have probably used brother preaching on the street in Amsterdam. He would have probably used someone else. But still, I believe that preaching the word of God in the church and outside is very important. And sometimes we don't see the fruits. We see people spitting on us. We see people hating us. Yesterday, people gave us middle fingers. They threatened us with death. One time I was preaching in the metro in Amsterdam at LGBT. She came all the way down. I was preaching against homosexuality. I said, the Bible says, men who sleep with men shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Sodomites, repent. She came all the way. She stood in front of me. She spat me in the face and she just had eaten a bar of chocolate. You know how it is? She spat me in the face. But when you're preaching the gospel in the power of the Lord and in the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't care. You just keep preaching. And then your brother comes and he wipes it off.
Right.
Sometimes you get a bucket of water. Praise the Lord. It was 30 degrees. I needed it. You know, God used everything for the good for those who love Him. My friends, I really want to encourage you guys. God is faithful. And I'm thankful for this place. I'm thankful for sharing this with you guys. I really hope that you have something, that you have something about this, that you can use it, and that you'll be encouraged as well to share the gospel of Jesus, to follow Christ. And if you don't know Jesus Christ yet, my friends, the Bible says, call upon His name, humble yourself under His mighty hand, seek the Lord, and you will find, you will live, and seek the Lord while He may be found. You see, if a sinner like me, you know, if a wicked man like me back in the days, a wicked man, I deserve punishment in hell. If I was in hell, God was faithful. If I was in hell, I got right what I deserved because I cursed.
Right.
I was a bad man. So are you. We all need Jesus Christ, my friends. Share the gospel. Our country is falling. This world is in darkness. You see, there's so much anti-Semitism right now as well in Amsterdam, which used to be a Jewish city. Many people used to be saved right there. We must share the gospel. Take name of forebilt. Forebilt in English.
Example.
Take example as well on brother pastor. You know, don't exalt him, but take a forebilt. He's a pastor here. He's not just preaching here. Yesterday it was pouring rain. I saw it. He was in the pouring rain preaching the gospel. He's the first pastor ever in my entire life. I mean, preaching the word on this. He understands what it is to have no voice. But take example. Go out. Share the gospel.
That's the fruit of your giving, praying for the people in the Netherlands. He hasn't been in our church long. You know, to be honest with you, I want to tell you, I don't know if he's going to remain in our church because this young man has not been discipled. But he's grounded in the Word of God in many ways in regards to evangelism. But I've had some really heart-to-heart talks with him, and he's like a son in the Lord to me in many ways just because of his heart for outreach and evangelism. But I ask you to pray for Robbie Smith Kemp, for his wife. They just had their baby while we've been here. The baby was born. And pray that he will continue to come to our church, that the Lord will use him in a mighty way. I've preached for them on the street already. I have for some time now since I've met him. And I'll send the pastor a link to his YouTube channel. I think it'll be an encouragement to you. He preaches in Dutch and English on the streets of Amsterdam. And it'll be a help and encouragement to you. Turn with me your Bibles to Psalm 33. What time are you usually done, brother? 11:50?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, turn with me to Psalm 33, sorry. So yeah, God's been good. We've had another family come just two months ago in their 70s, atheists their entire life, and came to the faith in Christ after COVID. And we're looking for a church. They went to all these different churches where they live, about an hour and a half from us. And they said, we came to a conviction on the King James Bible. We love the King James Bible. We want to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so they're just so thankful to be at Lighthouse Baptist Church. I could spend the rest of the morning here telling you about what God is doing because you are praying, because you are giving for the furtherance of the gospel in Amsterdam. And if you're ever able to, you come and visit us there. Your pastor has been in Urk. Pastor knows that city. He said, we had fish and chips there, I believe. We visited there in any case. And God is doing a great work there. Psalm 33, the Bible says here, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with a psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. Amen. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap, and He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, and beholdeth all the sons of men. from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness in giving us your word, Lord, and allowing us to be in this place this morning. Lord, speak to our hearts. May we leave differently than we came here today because of the truth of your word and the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And so Psalm 33, it's a call of praise to the Lord. It's a call of praise to the Lord. We need to be reminded, even though we're believers, even though we've known Christ for some time, there's distractions, there's troubles, there's persecution, there's things that come in our life that will distract us and get our eyes off the author and finisher of our faith. And so we need to heed this call that we see in the Word of God to praise the Lord, because he is in control, even when things around us may seem like they are completely out of control. He is in control. And the Bible reminds us that though we cannot see what he's doing, we cannot see the end, we can see the steps before us, because his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In verse 1, believers are commanded to rejoice. This word, it means to overcome, to cry out, to give a ringing shout, a ringing cry, and a shout for joy. And so that's what it means to rejoice. That's what it means to rejoice. This is a command for a loud vocal praise to be lifted up to the God who created us. Let everything that hath breath, the Bible says, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so verse 1 also tells us that praise is comely for the upright. Praise is comely for the upright. This word comely, not a word that we use that much anymore, but it means beautiful. There are, of course, many emotions. You know, we're emotional people. Sometimes my wife says to me, "You're a stone man." You know, because sometimes, you know, I'm a different personality than her. And us Dutchmen, you know, wooden shoes, wooden head, wouldn't listen. And we can be that way. But, you know, God's word ought to melt our heart. God's word ought to soften the heart of stone and ought to cause us to give praise and glory and honor to God, not just not just in the church house, not just amongst believers. But, you know, many emotions can grip our hearts, and many times emotions try to come in because we react to circumstances instead of responding to God's word. But God's word will mold us, will shape us, will change us, and will help us then to be able to respond in faith.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Instead of reacting to a situation, we will respond. You know, we can overcome these emotions. We can sometimes be overcome, though, in the flesh. Sadly, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But in the flesh, even as believers, even as Christians, we can be overcome with pride. We can be overcome with hate. We can be overcome with malice, with anger, with envy, with unforgiveness, sometimes with fear. It can grip us. The fear of man even brings the snare. You know, every time I go to preach on the street in Amsterdam, still the fear of man tries to come in and snare me up. And I have to remember, you know, thank God, the Bible says, God, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. For me not to open up my mouth like a trumpet and preach the word of God, I would be sinning against the God who created me if I did not speak up and praise him in the public for all that he has done for me. That beautiful name, that wonderful name,
Amen.
That wonderful name of Jesus, in which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So I have to speak it publicly, but fear comes in. Many other harmful emotions, but no emotion is as beneficial or as beautiful as a heart that is filled with praise to God Almighty. And the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. When we begin to praise God in the church house, when we begin to praise God on the street, when we lift up his name, then he will come in like a flood, and that fear will disappear. You know, on the way to work, we're thinking about things, you know, that are up and coming. I got that meeting. I've got, you know, this lousy one. I used to work down on Kent Street there in under the Oak Street Bridge. I worked for Coast Paper for 12, 12, almost 13 years. And there was a supervisor there. I hated that supervisor. He was just a lousy, he wasn't running the place right. I thought, man, if I was in your place, I'd do a better job. And, all these stupid, dumb feelings that you have as a young man. But I thought, I need to submit to his authority. I need to do my work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And God enabled me to have a better relationship with him and a better place to work. And God allowed me to, when it came time to surrender to the ministry, that company said, Stan, we want to pay for your moving. I was a warehouse man. I was a truck driver. We're going to pay for your moving expenses to go from Vancouver to Toronto. You can work for our warehouse in Toronto while you're going to Bible college. You can drive truck there if you want. You can work in the warehouse. You can do whatever you want. See, God gives us favor in the eyes of men when we serve him, when we submit to God, and we're not working as unto men, but as unto God. But it has to come with a change of attitude. We will naturally have bad attitudes sometimes to things that are going on in life, to the circumstances that we face. But we have to choose to have an attitude of gratitude, because we are serving the Lord God and we need to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. Verse 2 calls us to use musical skills to praise him. You know, when instruments are played for his glory, it honors him, because music is another form of praise to the Lord. It was beautiful this morning that we could sing and God inhabits our praises, but we need to sing to him properly. You know, nowadays they're trying to bring the rock bands in and they're trying to do all this stuff, and people have sincere hearts. They want to do it sincerely, but many times they're not taught right. They're not discipled. They're not taught about the polity, practice, and doctrines that we were taught many years ago by men that loved the Lord and came up with those, with that polity, practice, and doctrine because of principles that they found in God's Word that were beneficial for us and that would help us and hold us in good stead when we want to serve the Lord together corporately. And so it's not always easy. We don't always understand these things, but we need to have a good attitude towards our pastor. We need to have a good attitude to those in authority over us in the local church as well, so that we can use the skills and abilities, whether it be musical skills or other things, for the glory and honor of God. Verse 3 calls us to sing unto him a new song. Yeah. Sing unto him a new song. I remember I was hitchhiking back from Calgary. I was busted on possession of narcotics. If I had been busted 5 minutes earlier, it would have been on trafficking charge. And I was paranoid. I panicked. I went back and I had my Black Sabbath hat on, which is an upside down cross. And I'm hitchhiking on the side of the road outside of Banff, I think it is. And some older man, he saw me and he thought that was a cross. He didn't see that it was upside down. He invited me to come in and into his car. He was a Christian man. And he gave me a ride and, planted some seeds there again. But, God knows our situation. And that was the music I was listening to. That was what had filled my mind, all that heavy metal and all that hatred and all those things, which led me to a place where I wanted to end my life, November 28, 1982. I was going to jump in front of a freight train there at White Rock, British Columbia, there, right at that place near where my sister lives now. Because that's, sin will always take you further than you want to go, one man once said, and it will always cost you more than you can afford. And sin has its pleasure, but it's only for a season, and eventually that season runs out, and Satan has come up for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus has come. Amen. That we might have life. Amen. And that we might have it more abundantly. God is in the life-saving business, but the principles and the precepts and the things that he wants to teach us, it goes against our flesh, and we don't necessarily want it. But when we submit to his authority, when we submit to the authority of the local church, God will guide us and direct us and lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and give us that peace and joy that we need, that man can never take from us. And it's a new song. It's a new song. The idea of a new song means we're to be thoughtful. We're to exercise our minds to find new ways to praise him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. When we think of verses like Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, the Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so it should be clear that we have many reasons every day to exalt him for his love, his mercy and his grace, his blessings and his goodness toward us. Verse 3 also calls on us to praise him in such a way, again, I alluded to this already, but that we might be heard by others. That we, I think we should start praising God on the way to work while we're in the car. I made a mistake one time going over the Alex Fraser Bridge. I was praying and I closed my eyes. That was not a good idea. You don't always have to close your eyes when you're praying. But we can be praising God wherever we are, and God will, then our hearts will be prepared for that next encounter, whatever it might be, in the situations of life. So that, you see, the next, we're either, one man once said, I remember, I heard it first time at Faithway. And they said, you're either in a trial, you're about to enter a trial, or you're coming out of a trial. That's the way life is, sadly, because wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and everything that goes along with that.
Right.
And death by sin. And so by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. We're all affected by it.
Sure.
Now, God can supernaturally intervene if he so chooses to, but the effect of death is in us and on us. And so, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God will help us. The difference between us and the unbeliever, he walks in darkness. He knows not at what he stumbles. We as believers, we know the Lord of glory, and he walks with us. If we draw nigh unto him, he draws nigh unto us. Even in that darkest valley, even in that most difficult place, he is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us, and will help us through. And then we can comfort others with the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted, and be a blessing and help to others. Those who are walking in darkness, whose hearts are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, they need somebody who can empathize with them, somebody who understands the valley and the darkness that they're going through, and can take them by the hand and say, I have a Savior that will help you. I have a Savior that will forgive you. I have a Savior. He might not take all your problems away. He may not take all your pain away, but he will be right there with you until he takes you to glory, and you will be forever in his presence. What a wonderful God we serve. And so verse 3 also calls on him, on us to praise him, where we can be heard by others, that would be publicly, so that others would be aware of who he is. They would be aware of all that it is that he's done for us. And so now, having commanded us to praise the Lord, the psalmist gives us the reasons, even right here, why we should praise him. We're not going to get through all of this today, but one, now through the introduction, the first point is that we should rejoice in his word, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in his word, verses 4 through 9 of Psalm 33. Verse 4 said, His word is precious. His word is precious. The word right has the idea of upright. It has the idea of being straight, of being correct. Isn't that wonderful? Because in a world where, you know, if somebody was going to frame up the walls in this room, back in the day, they would have a plumb line. Now you use lasers and whatnot, but you need to have straight walls. If you don't have a straight foundation, if you don't have those first walls on the first floor that are straight, then you're going to have a roof that's off kilter. You're going to have a big problem. And so in our lives as well, our lives need to be built straight and proper. And sometimes, you know what has to happen? We've been built up the wrong way, maybe like Robbie in that dysfunctional home with a Muslim mother and a Jehovah's Witness father and all that confusion. But praise God, God can break down the walls, and we need to come to the end of ourselves. We need to be a broken people and say, God, I need you to build my life up. I need you to change me right from the foundation. I need your change. And so that is difficult. It's the road of it's a lonely road sometimes. It's a place of brokenness. It's a place where we need to die to self and allow ourselves to be broken by God. But, you know, God, when he breaks us, he builds us back up in a way that we could never build our own lives. The arm of flesh will fail you. And we try to build things, we try to do things, try to make our lives and set our lives upon these foundations of sinking sand. But Jesus will build our life upon the precious rock of his word. The word of God is like a compass. It guides us as believers through the desert of this world. And so all around us, listen, think about it. All around us, we see the results of the abandoning of the word of God. Our country was built upon the foundations of God's word, Judeo-Christian ethics. Even though everyone did not believe in God necessarily, they're not all Christians, they still had somewhat of a compass to follow because of those that went before us that knew the God of the Bible, or that at least had some understanding of the word of God. But our society is adrift upon a sea of time without a rudder. And our nation and the world as a whole has abandoned the word of God. They've abandoned the Ten Commandments, which are a schoolmaster to bring people to Jesus Christ. And the obvious result of sinful man's foolish decision to abandon the word of God is the rampant immorality that we see all around us, the wickedness, the evil in every segment of the world at large. Every time I come back to Vancouver, I didn't go into Vancouver this time, but I remember a number of years ago, I said to my kids, I said, we're going to go into Vancouver and we want to try and be a help to some of these homeless people. I went with Pastor Turner to the Union Gospel Mission many years ago as he went there regularly. I don't know if you still go there, but anyways, we went there and those people were fed, and we shared the gospel with them. When I went with my children, there's a restaurant down there. You can go there and you can have a meal, and then you get one of these kind of a plastic coin thing, and you can give that coin to a homeless homeless person and they can have something to eat. So we went through there, and the homeless people were saying to us, sir, I think you've gone the wrong way. You know, you don't bring your family in here. You know, you shouldn't be going down this direction. And Hastings Street had gotten so much worse and so much worse. And now we see it out in the valley. My mother-in-law's in Langley. We see it in Abbotsford. We see it in Chilliwack. It's just a cancer that's spreading across our society. But praise God, when we walked into that part of Hastings Street, the light shines brightest in the darkness. And as we gave those people those coins and we said, you know, Jesus loves you. You can trust him. You can put your life in his hands. Every one of these homeless people has a story to tell. Some of them were, you know, had homes. Some of them had jobs, and suddenly the bottom fell out behind from underneath them. You never know. You just don't know. You know, I was a drug dealer on the streets, and when they shared the gospel with me, I'd rip up those gospel tracts. I would spit at those street preachers. I would tell them to get lost, but I was not an atheist. No, I knew from a young boy there was a God. And I remember praying as a young boy, 8 years old, God help me. But I didn't know him yet as my Savior. But at 16, I prayed. At 16 years of age in Calgary, Alberta, I prayed in my apartment. And you know, I prayed. I said, God, leave me alone. I want to live how I want to live. Because those guys have preached the gospel. But I have my rock music on all the time. And I that still small voice, I could not hear it because I'd always fill myself with all these with everything, you know. And then when I laid my head to the pillow at night, when it was quiet, God would bring conviction of sin. And I knew that I was going the wrong road. I was on the broad road that leads to destruction. Yeah, but I said, God, leave me alone, because I wanted to live how I wanted to live. I love my sin more than I loved God. And young people today, maybe old person today, you are a slave to sin. Sin, the Bible says the cords of sin cannot be quickly broken. You know, it just starts with that one little, you know, you get some, back in the day, you know, mom used to sew buttons on our clothes, right? And you have one thread, and you can rip that thread and pull it right off. But once you go another time around, pretty soon you have a rope this big that will anchor the boats into the harbor of Amsterdam or Vancouver. Because it's just one cord at a time, the cords of sin. They get, the more you go on, the more you continue in sin, the bigger that those cords become, and you cannot break them free, and you will be held a slave to sin if you allow yourself to continue to go down that road. And only Jesus can break those cords. But I went down that road, and I told you what happened. I came to the place where I wanted to end my life because of it. But praise God that those seeds were planted. Praise God that those preachers were breaking up the fallow ground of my hard heart, my heart that had become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so then when I was by myself, November 28th, 1982, at 2:30 in the morning, God reminded me that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And if I would confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I would be saved. And I didn't think God could forgive me. I'd done so many things wrong. I just stolen something for the day before. I'd done all so many bad things, but I just fell down on my knees and I said, God, I need you. I don't want to live this life anymore. It was just like Jesus wrapped his arms around me, and I knew I was forgiven. I still thought my mind was ruined on drugs. My drug buddies said, Stan, we like our drugs too, but you're too much of a head case. You're never going to be able to hold a job. You won't be able to hold a conversation with people because you've messed your mind up on LSD and all this other stuff. But I said, after I trusted Christ, it doesn't matter. Jesus loves me, and I am forgiven. And praise God that God, he hasn't restored my mind fully, but at least I can remember something. So I ask my wife, sometimes I can't remember things, but God is good. And so, you know, God is in the life-saving business. I ran back to my sister and brother-in-law's house. This is in White Rock. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. By the time I got there, I was smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day and my life messed up. But I ran into their house, ran into their bedroom, and they were on their knees beside their bed, have been praying for me for over an hour. God's in the life-saving Amen. Business. And these prayer meetings are important. So important, because there's men and women, boys and girls in your community, they don't have a Christian father or mother. They don't have a pastor. And they're going to hell. They're lost. Satan is trying to steal, kill, and destroy their lives. But you're interceding for them. You're praying for them that they might come to faith in Christ. That's the most important work. We have a rudder to sail the uncertain seas of life. We have a pattern after which we can live our lives. From His Word, from the Bible, we can discern His will for the course of our lives, and we can find out how we are to live day by day. The Word of God, we ought to covet this Word. It is precious. So many people died that we might have this Bible today. So many people died in the Netherlands where the Bible was first printed and sent to England when it was under the rule of Roman Catholics even. And they hid portions of the Bible in the chinking of their walls and in order that they might have God's word. And now we take God's word for granted. Now we take God's word for granted. But you'll never know God's will for your life apart from God's word. We should praise him for that. And it will become, when we praise him for that, it will become even that much more important to him, to us. We only covered the first point today. But may, Lord, we'll now come back again and we'll finish the rest of the message. But God is good. God, I hope and pray that God's word and the testimony of Robbie was a blessing and an encouragement to you this morning. And that you'll heed God's word. Because sometimes, you know, it can go, as we say, in one ear and out the other. And we need to heed God's word because we're living in perilous times. You know, the Bible says in the last days, many shall depart from the faith. Give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The fastest growing church in the Netherlands is called Mosaic. It started in New Jersey. And they were sincere people, I think. I'm not trying to judge their motives. They're trying to help people on the street and whatnot. But the problem is that, you know, again, as I mentioned earlier, the polity and the practice and the doctrine of our churches as independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James preaching churches, these things are done on purpose. They're done for a reason, in order to protect us, in order to put the guards in place in our life that we might walk humbly before our God and be able to help people in our community, in our country, in our world, to be able to live, not only come to faith in Christ, but be able to live for him. To be able to have lives that are planted upon the foundation of his word. And these whole seeker-sensitive churches and whatnot, they're just giving people the candy, but they're not giving them the meat of God's word many times. So this Mosaic church, you try to go on the website and see what they believe, you can't even see what they believe. That's the way it is with most churches today. And it turns out they're a Presbyterian church, actually, but they are preaching the gospel, which we're thankful for. And then the other fast-growing church is called The River, which is basically Rodney Howard Brown, if you remember him, the Holy Ghost bartender from down in Florida. That when I left Canada, you know, that was rampant in Toronto. Now it's come to the Netherlands, and it's confusing a lot of people. And so I ask you to continue to pray for us. God is building his church. We're seeing people. We have people that come from Hillsong. We have people that have come from Calvinist churches. We've had people that have come from Roman Catholic backgrounds. But the thing is that we ask you to pray for us. Not only that God will continue to bless the preaching of his word as we go out publicly on the streets and preach the gospel in our church, but that also people might know how to build their lives upon the foundation of his word and might be hungry and eager to go through discipleship, to become grounded in the word of God. We continually offer it. Some people start for a little while, then they fall off, then they come back again. You know, that's how it is, brother, but we need to continue to be faithful. So pray that we would be faithful and pray that people would be hungry and that we'd be able to see them become grounded in God's word. And let's speak with the Lord as he's spoken to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you so much for this faithful church, Lord, how you've done so many wonderful things here through Pastor Turner and through his wife and through the church family here, Lord. We thank you for this place. We thank you for the encouragement they are to us. We thank you for what they have done to see the furtherance of the gospel go forward in the Netherlands, praying for Dutch people, men and women, boys and girls. We thank you for the answer to prayer with Robbie, with Frank, and for Dito, and for others, Lord, in our church that are there, that are saved, that are serving God, that are growing in grace because of Anchor Baptist Church. But Lord, you continue to desire to use each one of us. Help us, Lord, as we need to submit to your authority, submit to the authority of your word, submit to the authorities before us at our workplace and in our local church. And Lord, help us to rejoice in you. Help us to understand that we can't respond to situations, we can't react to situations, but we need to respond to your word, the Bible. And Father, if there be anyone here today who's not saved, who's not certain if they were to die today, that they would go to heaven. Oh God, I pray, Father, that they might realize that no matter how far they've strayed, no matter how evil a sinner they might be, or if they're dabbling in sin a little bit, sitting on the fence, loving their sin more than they love God, oh God, arrest that soul today. Arrest them in their course, Father, we pray, that they might repent and believe and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. Father, help us. We thank you. And we ask this all with every head bowed, every eye closed. Take a moment, speak with the Lord as the pianist plays quietly. If that's what's happening, then speak with the Lord and allow the Lord to to work in your heart. But most importantly, as you've heard the word of God today, it's the opportunity now for you to respond. It's the opportunity for you to say, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be surrendered to you. I want to be surrendered to your Holy Spirit. I don't want the flesh to lead me anymore. I don't want to be led by my emotions. I want to be led by the Spirit of the Most High God. I want your word to be a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I want the Bible to be my plumb line. I want to trust you as my Savior. Whatever your need is today, you come and call upon the name of the Lord while he may be found.
God spoke to your heart. Would you come? Maybe you know someone today that has a testimony they're living in right now, just like Brother Stan. I'm not saying you're looking down on them, but maybe you ought to come pray for them. There might be some preachers out there. There might be some missionaries out there wandering the streets of Vancouver. God help us to continue. No time to do less for the Lord. If you're not saved, would you come even now? You say, I'm embarrassed to come. How about the Lord Jesus hanging on a cross with nothing on, hardly, being crucified, spat upon, beard ripped out, crown of thorns, all of it. He did that so you could be saved. If you're being convicted right now about your salvation, don't say no. Would you come? The Lord Jesus, he will save you today. One you needed, would you come? So much for listening. Thank you, Brother Stan, for your passion for the Lord and your compassion for people. It's very evident. And he has a testimony that can give honor to the Lord. We all do. We all do. Problem with some of us, like me, sometimes is we don't use that testimony. And God says, like he said this morning from the text, you know, speak up, sing out. You're not just in the shower, right? And I love this man and his wife dearly. And I'm thankful that we can be so far apart, yet so close. And he's right. It was the Johnston family in Richmond Hill and the Camps family going to Holland that we first took on back in 2002. I forget things sometimes too, but I remembered when you said that. And still have some of those pictures in my mine that we took of their family with their display and all that. Please greet them before you leave today. They won't be with us tonight. If you want to contribute to a love offering, you can give that however you give. And we'll be getting a love offering to them as well. And so blessed to be in the house of God this morning. Let's stand together, please, if you're able to. If you could just remember those couple of those things that we need help with. Putting the sign, that means also getting, obviously somebody puts the signs away every week. I say on that end, let's leave the signs out as long as we can. So we'll wait till toward the end to put those away, maybe right after something. But you could help us with that in the morning, Sunday mornings, cleaning the parking lot. It's not for me, it's not for the church, it's for the Lord. And so I know many of you are doing many things for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. A cup of cold water for the Lord is worth it, or a cup of hot coffee as well. Thank you. Somebody brought me a coffee this morning. I want to thank the Lord for that, but thank you for helping with that. So greet the camps before you leave. And 4 o'clock, Gospel Farsi Ministry, be praying about that. And then 6 o'clock, our service, baptizing afterwards. And if we hear from the hospital on a new anchor coming, we'll let you know. But the newest anchor is not wanting to leave. It's too cold outside. And so staying put for now. But it's good to see Addie. You got Addie back there, huh, Brother Jose? There you go. And so thank you for helping them. It's a blessing. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. We couldn't say thank you enough for all that you've done in our life. You've been so good and faithful and gracious. And thank you, Lord, this testimony of this gentleman. Pray that he would follow your leading in his life. Couldn't help but hearing some of what he was saying and knowing of his background with even some in this room today. You are so good that you'll take us, and broken as we are, and you can get so much glory. That's our desire. Father, in 2025, should you tarry your coming, Lord, may we use every day to bring you honor and glory. Help us even today with whatever the rest of the day holds, not to miss what you have for us. An opportunity to praise you. An opportunity to give you thanksgiving. We love you. Please help this dear brother and his wife and family as they continue on, and give them great courage and boldness, protection, the calling you put on their life. Maybe there'd be someone here today, Father, that you've touched their life about going to the Netherlands, serving you there. We pray, Lord, that even that beginning of that today would bring forth fruit in their life. They need laborers, Lord. They need laborers. We pray you'd send laborers. We love you. We look forward to the rest of this day and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.